Last week, I ministered on a subject called, I entitled it, Your Great Enemy. And as I told you last week, I don't talk about the enemy, or as we might refer to him as the devil or Satan, very much, but he does need addressing every now and then. And it's just like I don't like to discipline my kids very much. I think it's a lot better to just love them. But every now and then, how many parents know there's a little bit of discipline that's required as well? Yeah, not equating my kids to the devil. Don't worry, I'm not doing that. But you know, I don't like to talk about the devil very much, but sometimes we need to know what God says about him and how his strategies are aimed at preventing God's purpose in our life. And some of the things that we go through in this world, we can attribute to many different things, and some of it's just our own wrongdoing. But there are some things in life that we can trace and track back down to the enemy's schemes. And Christ had to deal with the enemy, not just here on earth, but God has been dealing with him for a long time. And there are some more things that God is going to do with him. And God also empowers us and gives us instruction in this world to be vigilant, to be sober, and to know our adversary, our great enemy, because he does lurk and prowl around in this world, and he seeks out a victim. And he would like for that victim to be you. He would like for that victim to be your health. He'd like for that victim to be your finances. He'd like for that victim to be your marriage, your children, your relationships, and the affairs of your life in this world. And to go through this life not recognizing that, and to be blind to his strategies, it is a good way to get caught and ensnared in his trap. And so exposing his schemes, recognizing his desire to wreak havoc in our life, I believe is an important part of stopping him and not allowing him to prevent God's purposes from happening in our life. Now, as I mentioned last week, if you are just content in your Christian life to live your life according to your own ways, if you just don't really want to include God in your life in any other way than just maybe a Sunday morning, if you're just content with self and getting all you can in this world and living for yourself, then I think you actually become a little bit less of a target. But if you're here today and you have prayed some of those prayers in your life that say, God, use me, God, let your will happen in my life, then not only do you get blessed by receiving the answers to those prayers, but you also get a target from the enemy that he puts on you to think that there is someone who God can use and work through, and I don't want to just let that happen. So we have the enemy who shows up in our lives and tries to prevent God's purpose from being fulfilled. And we can see this kind of in a cosmic view as we step back and look at God's plan throughout the ages, how the enemy sought to usurp God's authority and dominion and throne. We can see it in the book of Isaiah as he sought to exalt himself above the throne of God. We can see it throughout time. We can see it in the life of Daniel. We can see it in the life of Christ, how the devil came to him in Luke chapter 4 and tempted him to try to stop the purpose of God from happening. And I'll say this, and I believe it is so true, that the devil is really not as interested in you and I. He's interested in stopping the purpose of God. But it's that God has chosen to use human flesh. God has chosen to use individuals like us to achieve his purposes here in this world. You and I are the agent of God here on planet Earth. The church is his instrument to accomplish his bidding and will. And by being the church, we have an arch enemy, and that is Satan, who seeks to destroy the purposes of God. He comes against the church. He comes against its individuals. He comes against you and I, and we need to be alert and sober and vigilant and recognize his tactics. Now, if he can keep us in deception, if he can keep our mind clouded, and we go through life and we blame everything else, maybe our spouse, maybe our boss, maybe our circumstances, then he sits back with arms folded and laughs because he's gotten away with a ploy and someone else is getting the blame. But if we are people led by the Holy Spirit, if our eyes are opened and we are aware that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but that there is a heavenly and spiritual battle taking place, we're going to look at some of these scriptures in a moment, then we will have the consciousness that there is an adversary and he does seek to get in our way. He'll dig a pit and want us to fall in it, and then he'll want us to blame something else. Yeah, maybe someone around us, maybe circumstances. And I know that we have our part to play. We have decisions, but he is a tempter. He is someone who spends his entire time scheming how he can destroy your life. And for you or I to be ignorant of that falls right into his strategy. So today I'm praying that the Holy Spirit can open our eyes and show us this enemy, but that we are not left alone. How many can say amen and are glad that we don't have to endure this fight by ourselves? We are given a set of all-powerful, all-accomplishing tools given to us through Jesus Christ in salvation, that there is no need for us to put up with his schemes, to be the victim of his schemes, and to go through this life defeated by his ploys. We have been given victory. We have been given tools at our disposal that are a part of the package of salvation, that if we will pull out and arm ourselves with, we can rebuke his evil schemes, expose his plans, gain victory over him, not just live a defensive life, but take new ground for the kingdom of God. Can I hear an amen? Amen. That is what the Christian life is called to do. Not to just cope in this world and get through until we can get into the next age and meet with God. No, Christ came for something more than that. He came that we could conquer and that we could rule and that we could have power over the enemy. Hebrews tells us that he came to destroy the works of Satan. And you and I, now born of God, the children of God, if you're a Christian, God has given us tools. He's given us armament. He's given us defensive weapons. He's given us a position to stand in where we have victory, but we need to enforce that victory, and we need to recognize that we're in a fight. So that brings us to our points today. I'm going to continue on as I did last week. We looked at a scripture, 1 Peter 5:8. It'll hopefully come up here behind me. There it is. It says, be careful, watch out for attacks from the devil, your great enemy. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for some victim to devour. Probably all of us could point to a time in our life when maybe we recognized we were under attack. Yeah, I'm not talking about just maybe in a physical way that someone tries to mug you or attack you, but that the enemy is coming against your life in some way. And knowing it is the first step in exposing his schemes. I'm going to look at point number four here, what I've entitled Satanic Strategies. And we'll be looking at a scripture found in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. If you have your Bible, you can turn there with me. It says this, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. For the weapons we fight with are not the carnal weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Verse 5. And we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Great verse here that talks about this war that we are engaged in. But it also gives us some clues as to the battleground and the framework for this war that we're in. It brings up the ideas that there is something that exists within our minds, and that many times the battleground is right here. And the devil has mind-orientated strategies where he comes and plays tricks on our mind. He introduces lies to our mind, lies about who God is, lies about what God says and if it is true or not. We can see this, one of the first ploys that he uses against humanity is when he comes to Eve in the garden in Genesis chapter 3, and he questions what God has just said in chapter 2. Did God really say, don't eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? He's questioning what God has just stated. And the enemy will always come and he will question something that perhaps God has spoken to your life. Did God really say that he was going to use you? Does God's word really say that there is healing for your body? Does God's word really say that there is hope and freedom to be found in him through sin? He will question what God's word says. He will also question the goodness of God. I can think of God's servant Job, who was challenged internally to blame God, to curse God and die, or to continue to believe that God was good. Job saying, even if God slays me, I will trust him. I will believe he is good. David found himself in the same predicament, trying to hold on to what God had said. My friends, there will be moments and times, if you haven't experienced them already, where the enemy will come to you and he will challenge God's goodness in your life. He will challenge God's plan for your life. He will put a question in your heart to undermine your ability to stand and believe in what God has stated regarding your future. And by ingesting and agreeing with that thought, you take the bait, the hook is laid in your jaw, and you can find yourself being jerked around in life by the enemy because you have fallen prey to the bait. You've taken the bait of doubting what God's word says. Now, the Holy Spirit doesn't leave us alone. He is there to encourage us. He is there to bring confidence to our heart, to help us grow in faith that what God has promised, he is faithful to bring to pass. We're there and we're told in Ephesians to take up the shield of faith to resist all the fiery darts of the enemy. That shield of faith, it means that we are strong in what we believe God's word says concerning our life. And one of the principal ways that the enemy comes, that Satan's strategies come against your life, is the introduction of lies. Many times, very subtle lies. Not a bold, brazen lie, but something that perhaps is mixed with an element of truth, but has poison at its center, so that as you ingest that and think it over, that poison can begin to spread through your system, and all of a sudden you find that you are doubting what God's word says. What is the best way to combat the lie? What is the best way to recognize the lies that the enemy brings to our life? My friends, it is simply knowing the truth of God. When you know and are convinced of the truth of God, it becomes easy to detect a lie. When this word of God is sown in your heart, when it is deposited deep within the soil of your belief system, when it takes root deep within, when that lie comes, it is easy to spot and recognize because it stands in contrast to the truth of God's word. But if you don't have this word hidden in your heart, as David would say, if you haven't meditated upon this word day and night, and it is living and active in your heart, then my friends, you are susceptible to lies that come from the enemy to be introduced into your thinking, that you can find yourself meditating, and then soon it drops down from your head down into your heart. A seed of deception gets planted. All of a sudden, the lie begins to spread, and you can begin to build a foundation on something that is false. There's a scripture for us. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. It says this, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It encourages us to build a defense around our mind, a defense of faith in the truth of God. Faith and a defense built a rampart in that we know what God's word says. You know, I have on many occasions had to talk to people who have gone through some very difficult times in life. And we've all faced difficult moments. Maybe some of these people have faced tragedies. They've had sudden things befall them that weren't planned. Maybe they've had a death. Something has happened. And some of those people, and maybe you know someone like this, or maybe you've even wrestled with this, they begin to question God. They begin to doubt God. Why would God allow this to happen? How could God do this? How could God just stand by? My friends, if you're not careful, and if your defense system is not built up, and you don't believe in the goodness of God, and you don't believe in the providence of God, and you don't believe in the all-power sufficiency of God, then it is easy for the enemy to take situations that happen in this world, and that we can all of a sudden begin to question God and His goodness. Begin to question God and His faithfulness in our life. And pretty soon we find that we're on a very shaky foundation, and the rug can be pulled out from underneath our feet, and that any time that something befalls us or comes against our life, we can find ourselves questioning God's goodness. We find that our foot has been snared in a trap because we believed a lie from the enemy. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Build a defense mechanism in your mind. And is it that you're just training yourself with positive thoughts? Not necessarily. That's not bad. But you're allowing the Word of God to take root in your heart. My friends, it's good to memorize the Bible. I believe in it. And read as much scripture as you possibly can. Ingest it. But there is also a wonderful union that happens between the Spirit and the Word. And when the Holy Spirit is active in your heart, when He is in your thoughts, as Romans chapter 8 says, when the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and peace. When the Holy Spirit has the reins of your mind, and you give Him access to your thought life and say, Holy Spirit, shape my thoughts. The Holy Spirit, as you go into the Word of God, will lift those words from the page. He'll breathe life in inspiration to them. They will be more than just two-dimensional. They will become three-dimensional. He will take those words. He will wrap them around you. You will begin to see them in a new light. They will be manifested in living color. The Holy Spirit will make them applicable. He will make them real. He will implement the Word of God in your life. Join the Word in the Spirit. The greatest defense that you can have against the lies of the enemy, his mind-orientated strategies, is to allow the Holy Spirit to work the truth of God's word in your heart. You can pray, Holy Spirit, put an alarm inside of me that every time a lie tries to get through of what maybe I believe about God, what I might be challenged to believe His word says, or maybe even what I believe about myself. Set that alarm off. Let me recognize and have a truth and lie detector inside of my spirit. Don't let those lies get past the perimeter, but let a signal and an alarm go off so that I recognize from a distance and from afar, wait a second. That doesn't sound like the Lord. That doesn't sound like his word. I recognize what that sound is. That's the enemy coming to me with a deception and with a lie to get me entangled in a yoke of bondage and to get me to begin to question God or what his word says or who I am in Christ Jesus. I can think of times in my own life, in my walk before God. I know in certain areas I've been able through the help of the Holy Spirit to build some defenses in certain areas. But I also know weak and vulnerable points where the enemy has come and questioned my own abilities. Who do you think you are? What makes you think God could use you? Maybe some of you have also received that same deception from the enemy. I think of a man, we talked about him last week. His name was Gideon. Gideon didn't believe that God was doing miracles anymore. Gideon didn't believe that there was much hope for his nation. Gideon was convinced that there was no way God could use someone like him. But my friends, there are purposes of God. There are plans that God is looking for someone, maybe right here in this building this morning, who will join in agreement with the word of God and say, I believe God no matter what. And I'm going to accept what God says about me. And if the enemy comes to me 1,000 times, I am going to make the decision internally to exalt God's word over what I feel at times, even over what my natural mind is telling me. How many know that your natural mind can sometimes be in very stark contrast to what the Word of God says? Matter of fact, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 that the natural mind is an enemy of God. And sometimes that natural mind, joining forces with the deception and lies coming from Satan himself, can work against a heart that wants to reach out and embrace God's promises by faith and believe that God has something good for my life. When I say good, I'm not just talking about a big bank account. I'm not just talking about the next promotion. If that's part of it, wonderful. I'm talking about that God has a good purpose for your life. Something eternal. Something beyond just this short time here on planet Earth, for you to make a difference for eternity, for you to help bring the message of eternal life to those who are in the highways and byways of life, who are waiting for a preacher, waiting for someone to declare the truth of God's word. God needs people like that. God is looking to and fro throughout the entire earth to find people who believe, people who are armed with the truth of God, people who can keep at bay the enemy. My friends, there is something more than just a defensive life. I've said it a little bit earlier. There's something more than just building a defense, but there is also a life that we can come into that is an overcoming life, that is a triumphant life, where we're not just pushing back the lies of the enemy, but we begin to be the propagators of truth in this world. That we carry a torch of truth and the light of God's fervor and presence. We can take it into the dark world and we can expose the lies of the enemy that keeps people in bondage. God is looking for freedom fighters. God is looking for people who know the truth, who have been set free by the truth, and are ready to help others to be set free in that same truth. What? From the lies of the enemy. It comes against our mind. Have you ever been in a mind battle? Don't raise your hand. Maybe even this morning. Maybe even here this morning, sitting in a chair. Your mind is working overtime. You've been in a mind battle. Many times we can trace those things down. Are we going to come to a place of rest in our heart? of believing and trusting in the Lord? Or are we going to engage in this activity in our mind to try to solve it ourselves? You know, sometimes the best thing that we can do is say, Lord, I commit this into your hands. It's beyond my ability to figure out. Lord, it's beyond my control, these circumstances. I can't dictate right now. Lord, I'm going to put this in your hands. I'm going to trust that you're good. I'm going to trust that you have a plan and a hope and a future for me. And God, that my steps are ordered of you. Now, yes, does it mean that we disregard our mind? That we throw it away? Absolutely not. It is God-given. It is a part of the wonderful package that God gives us in this human body. But that mind needs to be subject to the truth of God's word. And we find, as Romans chapter 12 tells us, that we can be transformed in this world by letting the word of God change the way that we think, change our thoughts and attitudes. How is Satan coming against your life? Where can his schemes be seen playing out, perhaps even in your mind? We find here 1 Peter 1:13. Gird up the loins of your mind. You know, every thought that comes into your mind is not something that needs to be thought on. There are sometimes thoughts have to be ejected. Thoughts have to be cast down, as 2 Corinthians tells us. Cast down every thought that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. There is an active lifestyle for the Christian that is recognizing truth, that is recognizing lies, that is keeping to bay those lies, casting them down, rejecting those things when they come into our thought life, because we know what God's word says and we can spot his evil scheme in the lie and say, uh-uh, I'm not going down that trail. I'm not going to follow those thoughts. You know, there are some thoughts that if you entertain, how many of you know what I'm talking about? You can become depressed pretty quick. You start thinking about all the negative things, all the reasons why it's never going to happen, why you haven't measured up in God's sight, perhaps something else or other circumstances are involved. You start thinking on those things long enough, you can become pretty depressed. My friends, recognize and spot those things. Guard your heart. Guard your mind, as Proverbs says. Out of it are the issues of life. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Allow your mind to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. If you do, Romans chapter 8, verse 6, the person whose mind is controlled by the Holy Spirit, there is life. And there is peace. My friends, that life is not just talking about building your retirement package. That life is a force. That life is the resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead. That life is a cosmic force in this world and in this universe that conquers every foe. It is the life of God. It is the Spirit of God. The person whose mind is controlled by the Holy Spirit experiences this life force. How many of you would like the force to be with you? Yeah? Just threw that in there. The force of God's life working through you. Not only to make you robust, to build up those defenses in your mind, but to work through you to destroy the works of the enemy. It doesn't take much. You don't have to look far to see where the enemy has destroyed lives, where he has destroyed marriages, where he has destroyed relationships. But what if God could get a hold of us and use us to be repairers? God could use us as Christ took that scroll, took the word of God, took the truth out of the book of Isaiah as he was there in the synagogue. He opened it and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me We find this in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to proclaim good news, to bring recovery of sight to the blind, to bring healing to those who are lame, to loose those who are in bondage to the lies and deceptions of the enemy. My friend, God wants you to be a proclaimer of truth. It has to be inside of you. It's no use getting into a battle, going out there on the front line, and all of a sudden, wait a second, did I bring the weapon? Uh-oh, I've got nothing. You arm yourself now. What do you arm yourself with? The truth. You put this word in your heart. It's like ammunition in your spiritual gun. And when the enemy comes against you, you begin to pull it out. And you can say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. If God is for me, who can be against me? And when his evil schemes and lies and deceptions come, you rise up inside. You let that truth regurgitate inside of you. You bring it out and you find it's not just words, but it is a spiritual force coming through you to defeat the ploys of the enemy, to give you a clearing that you can walk in. The confusion leaves your mind. The depression leaves your soul. Clarity comes back to your mind. You have the thoughts of God because the Word of God and its truth is triumphant in your life. Live this lifestyle. Don't fall victim to the enemy. You know, I can tell you a story here. A couple of years ago, I was just busy and I was going through some things and I found myself just incredibly discouraged. Have you ever been discouraged? I know pastors aren't ever supposed to get discouraged, but I wasn't wearing my pastor hat at the moment. And I wasn't even here in Korea. I was traveling and I found myself just like a heaviness was on me. I just kind of felt like I wanted to crawl into a hole and just lick my wounds. And has anyone ever felt like that? I just felt heavy, really heavy, like a big weight was pushing down on me. And I can remember I started to feel a little sorry for myself and started to rehearse why I was feeling this way and all the excuses that I had to feel this way. And I really, as I was there, I felt the discipline of God. I'm so grateful for his discipline at times. That discipline that came to me and said, what are you doing? Why are you going down this path? And it snapped me back just for a moment into the truth. And I was able to see, it was like I had a veil lifted from my eyes. And I could see how the enemy was leading me down this slippery slope of discouragement and heavy weight and depression. And when I saw that, I immediately inside, I stood up. Actually, the room that I was in, I stood up as well. And I grabbed the Word of God. And I started to rehearse the Word of God in the scriptures that were inside of me. I started to pace back and forth in the room. And I began to declare God's Word in what it said regarding my life. Pretty soon, I felt that life force of God, the Holy Spirit, His energy, His life, that victorious, overcoming, triumphant life of Christ that can defeat any foe. I felt all of a sudden that come up inside of me. And I felt that lie, not only was it exposed, but it was broken, it was shattered, and all of a sudden I stood there in freedom. I stood there. I felt this lightness. I felt the presence of God. I felt my mind for what felt like a long time. All of a sudden, it was clear. I could hear God's voice. Everything made sense. I was now standing above the problem instead of underneath it. Maybe some of us need to arm ourselves with God's Word to combat the lies of the enemy that come against us. I'm going to share just a few more scriptures with you. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 through 58, it says this, "But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." This is for those of you who have fallen prey to an attack of the enemy, maybe even today. He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You know, if you're in that time when you feel like maybe your foot is caught in a snare, maybe you have believed some lies of the enemy, maybe you have fallen prey to his deception, just begin to rehearse the Word of God. If you don't have it memorized and it's not inside of you, then open it up and just begin to read it and allow the Holy Spirit to bring life through that Word. You know, one of the great things that I go back to in those moments when I feel like I'm under attack, I go back to Calvary, and I go back to the resurrection, and I go back to the facts that I know are true regarding Christ's victory over the enemy. I begin to think how he destroyed principalities, how he disarmed and stripped the enemy, as Philippians tells us, that he took that power that the enemy had, and he stood there, and in Matthew chapter 28 at the Great Commission, he says, "All this authority and power belongs to me, and I am now giving this authority and power to you. Go into all the world and work for me." My mind goes back to those times, and I rehearse all that Christ did to bring me freedom in him, to loose me from the power of the enemy, to give me peace with God, to forgive my sins, and to destroy the power of the sin nature, if I would believe and hold on to firmly and hold fast and stand fast in the victory where Christ has set me free. Galatians chapter 6. Stand in it. Believe in it. Hold on to it. Rehearse in your mind the victory of Christ. As I have done that, I have found that there is something supernatural, something beyond my intellect. I'm so grateful for that. Something beyond just my willpower. But I find, as you can find, maybe you have before, that this life that we have in Christ, it is supernatural. It is all-powerful. It is all-sufficient. And as we're told in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, that God has decided to make us, or to share his nature with us, to make us joint heirs with him, and to give us a part of his nature and personality through Jesus Christ. And that means, my friend, wherever you are, whatever situation you are in, however dark the hour may seem, however strong that trap may feel that you're in from the enemy, God has the power to break it through the victory of Jesus Christ. I have seen this happen in my life time and time again. Sometimes I'm very slow to recognize it. Sometimes I think that I needlessly suffer until I wake up and think, wait a second, I'm in a trap. No, Lord, get me out of this. Lord, I thank you that your life is within me. Your victory is within me. I don't have to stand for this. How many of you, this actually, you know, several years ago, this is like 8 years ago here in Korea, I'm sitting in our lounge. This is another apartment that where we're living in right now. I'm sitting there on the sofa watching the news, and all of a sudden, someone walks in my house who I've never seen before. A real estate agent. And she has a group of people with her. And she's showing them my house. And I was speechless. I thought, who are you? You know? you're in my house. You didn't ring the doorbell. You didn't knock on the door. You just walked in. And you're showing this house to people. I haven't given you permission. It's really an... How many of you would just say, yeah, come on in. Bring the relatives. No. You lock your door. And if someone comes in who you don't know, you might get a little testy over it. And show them the door and put them out and lock the door. So why in the world would we allow the enemy to walk into our lives, walk into our children's room, walk into their lives, torment them, walk into our marriage, walk into our daily affairs and just say, hey, you know, yeah, welcome. No. You'd get indignant. You'd get a little bit angry. You'd show them the door very quickly. My friends, we're called to do the same thing. To recognize that there is a prowler. There is a great enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And when you recognize him, show him the door very quickly. And keep it shut and bolted so that he can't come in the next time. Amen? Yeah, arm yourself with the truth of God's word. David prayed this in Psalm 51. As he was caught in sin with Bathsheba. Lord, you desire truth on me in the inward parts. Lord, form your truth inside of me so that I'm not susceptible to this sin. And it's not just for sin, but it's for the other lies that the enemy brings against our lives. Let's pray together this morning. Father, I thank you for your word that is also powerful. Lord, that you've not left us in this life alone to just try to make it according to our own power, our own ability. Lord, I thank you that you have given us resources. The most powerful of these resources is your life, your Holy Spirit within us. That Holy Spirit partnering with the truth of your word has an unstoppable, all-conquering force against the wiles, against the schemes and the strategies of Satan. Father, I pray for individuals here today that might find themselves in a trap. Maybe they believe the wrong things. Maybe they're discouraged today. Maybe they can sense the enemy coming against a relationship or their body or something in the affairs of their life. Father, give us the spiritual insight. Open our eyes today to recognize those evil schemes and to stand up and eject the enemy from our household. Eject his lies from our mind. And then, Lord, to build a defense, a strong defense, to gird up the loins of our mind and to recognize those lies, those deceptions, when they seek to come in and they counter your purpose, they counter your truth. Lord, as David prayed, God, establish your truth on the inside. Father, there's a role that we can play in this. There's steps of obedience that we need to follow. There's steps of discipline in feeding upon your word, in saying yes to the Holy Spirit and his presence in our life. Lord, as we do our part, I thank you that you're there to do your part, which is so much more. Lord, you can do what we can do. Lord, you came to destroy the works of the enemy. And there is no need for anyone to live in bondage. I thank you that you are a liberator of the heart, that we can stand fast in the freedom where Christ has set us free and be no longer entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Father, we have so much to celebrate. If you're here today and maybe the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart and you have found that There's something that you believe that has taken you down a path that is wrong. Let the conviction of the Holy Spirit bring correction to your heart today. Let Him open the eyes of your understanding and show you where you've believed something that is not from the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit this morning to develop this alarm system that triggers inside of you when something from the enemy tries to invade the perimeter. Lord, establish truth within our heart. Thank you for bringing healing and freedom to every life here today. Thank you that this freedom comes through Jesus Christ. Thank you that that freedom not only has the power to free us, but working through us can free the world that we live in. If we believe in God's power working through us to accomplish the impossible. Father, we thank you for this today and all that you're doing in our heart and life. In Jesus' name, amen.